Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulsa. I'm joined by Dane Young, Dave McMahon, Jake Roos, and, of course, the Hall of Famer himself, Jim Donnan. Dave and I are here live from Classic City Eats in Watkinsville, Highway 15, Greensboro Highway, just past the railroad tracks. So if you're hit downtown Watkinsville, you go past the railroad tracks, you will actually come out to it'll be on your right if you're heading towards Greensboro. It's a fantastic place. Tons of food. Plates is packed. Give me that beer over there. Well, you don't even drink. Dave's trying to bogart. Dave's bogart my beer over here. Which one is?
That's okay. A luau.
Yeah. All right. So I got the Terrapin Luau Crunkle.
Both drinks today.
Thank you, Terrapin.
Yeah. Amy will drink it.
She's the owner. I figured Jake Roos would love this. You know.
That's the classic country tea.
Roddy with the double fifth at noon. That's a bold move.
Oh my God.
He's the boss. He can do that.
Tell him what that is.
The classic country cheese, the bloom and petal peach vodka, peach schnapps, fresh lemon juice, half and half tea garnished with fresh mint sprigs.
Wow.
That's right up Jake's alley.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
So I might be driving Roddy home today.
It's going to be a fun show, gentlemen.
That's what they gave Madonna spirit right before he got to.
Yeah, I'll probably run just as awkwardly, you know. So, but anyway, we've got a great show for you folks. I really want to get into the Bruce Feldman comments. We had a fantastic interview. I say we, it was if I had anything to do with it, but Coach Donnan and Dane had Bruce Feldman on yesterday on the UGA Sports Live show. 30 minutes of Bruce Feldman talking about Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Oregon, all the teams that Georgia could be facing at the end of the season, you know, what Georgia needs to do to get there, the good about Georgia, the bad about Georgia, the good about Alabama, the bad about Alabama, the question marks around Clemson, the question marks around Georgia, all the fantastic stuff that Bruce Feldman, and to me, the biggest thing was, how does the national media see Georgia? Now, granted, it's only Bruce Feldman's opinion, but, you know, we had Paul Feinbaum on last week. He got his view of how the national media looks at Georgia. Now we have Bruce Feldman, and I think the Georgia fans will be happy, and I don't say concerned, but they'll be happy with what he had to say, but they'll also be, he also points out some issues that Georgia has, you know. So I think Dane brought up some good points with him about the wide receivers, and Coach had, you know, the back and forth between Coach Don and Bruce Feldman's fantastic. These are guys that have a lot of respect for each other. I mean, who else can get Paul Feinbaum and Bruce Feldman to come on our show?
You know, oh, I did that. Coach Donnan didn't do that. I did that.
No, you lied.
That is all Coach Donnan.
Hey,
those Columbus media ties or something else, Dave.
I did share an elevator with Paul Feinbaum in Hoover one time. He was going to the top floor where you need a card to get there. I was not.
Did you try to work your way into that floor?
I mean, he was really nice to me, but he was also just like, I'm on my way somewhere. But yeah, like in a nice way.
I do want to give a shout out to Athens Ford, our big sponsor, EuroPie. You know, so it's Tuesday, so be sure to hit up EuroPie because it's Double Points Tuesdays. Academia Brewing Company and our friend Ronnie Brown, DR Construction Maintenance. But Coach Donnan, kind of give us a recap of your conversation with Bruce Feldman, because I mean, it's 30 minutes of great stuff. We could write 10 different stories from it, but kind of your takeaway from talking to Bruce Feldman the other day.
Yeah, you know, when we talked about having these series, that one of the things that you said you wanted us to work on was to find out what the perception was outside of our local group here about the national persona, so to speak. And the one thing we got with Bruce is that he's kind of a combo guy. The fact that he does a lot of reporting, particularly scoop type stuff about coaching, and he's got inner circle workings there, but he also works for Fox and he covers games, so he gets a chance to get that go out and watch the practices and do all that. And I've just always had a lot of respect for him. We're not gonna have anybody on here that I don't have any respect for. I mean, anybody that we're not too fired up about, that they're not gonna make this show. But I just think the big thing with Bruce is he gives you a good cross section of being very objective but also being very straight up about how he feels. And in that kind of environment there, where he was relaxed on his own couch out there in Los Angeles, he basically told us what he thought about, you know, all these different teams and, you know, some of the things that are going on with college football. I think Dane certainly is going to work on trying to get a written copy of some of the things he said. But, you know, the biggest part to me was just analyzing Georgia and Clemson, because that's really the most salient thing going on right now. Is all summer we're going to be talking about how does Georgia play against Clemson and vice versa, and what are the strengths and weaknesses. And he basically went over some of the things that were really strong for Clemson and some of the things that concerned him. Offensive line is definitely a position of worry for Clemson. The fact their secondary has lost some good players, plus their best player is in the transfer portal. Hopefully we'll get him. And he talked about, you know, the fact that DJ, their quarterback, got some good reps against Notre Dame, and it's going to be a big, strong, viable force for him. And then for Georgia, he mentioned the fact that, you know, this could be the year, should be the year, because so many question marks for Alabama. Even though we got question marks, Alabama, you know, lost almost a whole team of first-round draft choices on their offense, and some pretty good players on defense, including Surtain. So I think don't want to go over the whole thing. I want people to cut it on and listen to it. But I was really happy that he shared his views with us so openly. And that's what hopefully we'll get from all these people we're going to get all summer, is that they'll be relaxed and know we're not trying to hang them out to dry. But let's get a good feel for, you know, what the national perception is of the Dogs, and how they project us. And any way you look at it, we're right up there. I mean, with recruits, with facilities. I know I talked to Coach Mar yesterday, just real quick, about when they're going to move in. He says the middle of next week. They had a few things they had to finish up, but they're going to have those bells and whistles ready to go on June 1st. And one of the things we're going to do today is get Jake to, you know, talk about that first visit and how big it's going to be. But excited about the summer. Me personally, getting to go over and watch some of these camps. I mean, I thrive on looking at those kids, seeing some of my old players come back. You know, Mike Lucky's son's a prospect. He's going to bring Lawson over here to work out in camp. And it's just going to be a great summer. I'm looking forward to it.
Let me get back to some of the quick hitters from the Feldman interview. And I do encourage people to go back on this feed, whether it's on YouTube or a podcast feed, check it out in its entirety, because what I'm about to say, it's definitely more nuanced than this, but I'm going to give you some quick hitters to kind of whet your appetite, so you will go back and check it out. One, quarterbacks around the country, it's a question mark from NFL scouts' perception down, because he just came off the NFL draft. Feldman did, where he was reporting on some of the first round quarterbacks there. He started asking about next year's quarterbacks. Question marks abound, and that includes JT Daniels. From Feldman's perspective, he was saying that, you know, he had read some mock drafts that had JT Daniels as the top 10 pick. From what NFL people are saying, probably not. Right now, a lot would have to happen for that to be the case. We shall see. Other things, Jamel Adai, slam dunk hire, said that he loved him at West Virginia, said that he loved the fact that he was essentially a co-defensive coordinator last year when West Virginia's defensive coordinator left. That's something that Coach Donnan had also told us right around the time of the hire.
It's more important when Bruce Feldman tells us than when Coach Donnan does. Let's just keep that straight.
Exactly. I mean, the last time I had any scoop, Caesar was going over the Rubicon.
At two.
And I think the other thing is that Georgia's wide receivers. That's something that we've really been harping on here, that's something that has to elevate for Georgia to get into that national conversation. He said Georgia would probably be among his top four teams in college football, but there's just so much time until then. The biggest thing that struck me is that guy loves football. I mean, Bruce Feldman was just so happy to talk ball with us and have some level of normalcy after a really crazy last year. And the clip that we put out there on social media was him talking about how you got to give new coaches kind of a pass for last season because of how crazy it was. But all the reputation about Todd Monken, we forget that was his first season as Georgia's offensive coordinator. All the reputation about him says he knows what he's doing, especially with wide receivers.
Speaking of wide receivers, Coach, I thought it was very interesting when we kind of asked him about his concerns about Georgia. He went straight to wide receiver. I thought he'd be talking about the secondary, but he's like, look, you know, can those other guys step up after the loss of George Pickens? And when you're looking at the Georgia-Clemson game, he says his first thing is he wants to see what they can do. And he pointed out that, you know, JT Daniels, you know, yeah, he'll complete some passes, but he's not going to burn you like Justin Fields did when he faced Clemson. You know, he could take off and run. Georgia's not going to have that with JT Daniels, so you don't have that threat. So he was – I was kind of expecting, you know, just kind of, hey, what's your concern about Georgia? Secondary. He went straight to wide receivers.
He went right to the offensive side.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing about receivers, though. When you look at the tape of the Clemson game with six touchdown passes and a lot of them over the top with the speed factor that Ohio State presented, and then you're a national guy and you're the number one player for Georgia gets hurt, then you're going to rally around that right off the bat. You know, people don't go into all the different things about our secondary because they just normally think that Georgia's going to, you know, reload with Kirby Smart being the head coach and the way he recruits. So it is a little bit more of a national issue there with Pickens being out because, you know, they're probably talking about Pickens on The View today. I mean, that's probably – you know, I mean, it's a big deal for I doubt they're talking about that, but I mean, realistically,
they should be. They should be.
That's what America wants to know.
It makes the show better.
It'd be a lot better some of that BS they talk about sometimes. I never do listen to it, but I see some of it. But here's the thing: he did a good job with it, and Dane just did a good job of going over it. And anybody that wants to watch it now, we're not going to tell you anything else he said because hey. I mean, that's not fair. That's why we did it. I mean, let's listen to him. And I thought one thing that was good last night, Dane sends me this stuff. He said something about the how relaxed he somebody said how relaxed he was, and they were glad he was on there. And he had actually answered that guy on Twitter, which Dane came back and made some kind of smart-ass remark at the end, too. What did you say, Dane?
I don't remember. I say a lot of things on Twitter, Coach. If I could recap them all.
Yeah. No, Dane is very good on Twitter. You know, he's good follow.
At that point.
You said that you had set that up through your relationship with him when y'all met in the Bahamas or something like that. So, I mean, that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I was saying the Mac Brown interview, they were saying we're getting all of Coach's friends. And I said, well, how do you not – me and Mac Brown, we summoned together in the Bahamas. You heard him talk about it.
Yeah,
that was my joke on it.
See, we're all propping up Coach Don, and that's
he did say one more thing that I'm going to tease over to Jake though, because he was talking about transfers, and I don't think about some of the guys that have transferred from Georgia as being like these national game changers in some cases, and I don't know that fans do either. But when he was going through his most impactful transfers, two names obviously from Georgia, there were a lot within the SEC and even the division: Tyreek Stevenson, Miami. Projected starter for sure. The other, he was saying from people that he has spoken to that Jermaine Johnson was performing in the spring as the best defensive player at Florida State.
That's not a huge surprise to me to hear that. I mean, Florida State's still in rebuild mode. I mean, I think
king of the three stars, Florida State.
I mean, you know, so Jermaine was a surprise, I think, to everybody. I think that he was slotted in to be a guy. Georgia was expecting him to play really meaningful minutes, probably be the starter. I think, you know, it was going to be between he and Adam Anderson and Nolan Smith. I mean, that was going to be your three guys battling it out for those number one reps. But, you know, I think Jermaine was in line to play a ton of reps. I think it was a huge surprise that he transferred. I think it was for everybody. Tyreek, maybe not as much. I mean, listen, we talk about it year in and year out. The state of Miami is real. Howard Schnellenberger, you know, kind of coined that phrase. But those kids, it's a different breed down there. It's not a surprise when they want to go home. You see a lot of kids even ended up at the FAUs and the FIUs, you know, just to get back, just to get close to where they're from. You know, it is a tight-knit community of players down there, a tight-knit community of coaches. The support systems down there are really, really close. And so, you know, Tyreek Stevenson, listen, I mean, there's no question in my mind that was a huge blow for Georgia, especially given the lack of experience that they're returning in the secondary outside of Lewis Cine and maybe Chris Smith. But, you know, you're talking about a guy who was slotted in to be a starter, like you said, projected starter now at Miami, did some great things for you, has all the talent in the world. And, you know, those things are going to happen. I mean, that's just the nature of college football today, especially with the way that Georgia recruits. You know, you're going to have some guys, especially with this one-year or a single transfer always getting approved now, you're going to have some guys who get homesick and say, I want to go. You're going to have some guys who want to test the waters out there as well. So, it's not a unique to Georgia problem, but he's right to bring it up. I mean, those are two big impact players, two guys that you thought would be starters in this 2021 season.
Yeah, and the point that was so, to me, overwhelming about it was we asked him about the piece that he wrote about the impact transfers around the country. And, he also brought up Smith coming here from West Virginia and then talked about his relationship with the secondary coach because he did a story on him, which I thought helped us, with the piece. But two of the top five that he mentioned Tyreek as number two and Jermaine Johnson as number four. So we kind of take for granted, hey, well, it's too bad they left, but we're going to fill in. But, I mean, when you're talking about when you're listing the top transfers in the country, and in his opinion, those are two of the top five, then that hurts your team, particularly when you have all the graduation situation with our defense anyhow. And mention one thing else about Jermaine Johnson. You left out Olarge, which he didn't really know when he signed here that Olarge was going to play like that in the Sugar Bowl. Roddy knew that. He had watched practice and he'd told us that. But, those are four pretty good guys there at that position beside him. And we just don't have the ability to put two guys on the field at the same time with our defense and our regular defense, the way we line them up. It's just one position. Now, when you go into nickel and dime and some of the fast rushing deals, you can get those guys out there. So it's a good break for FSU getting. The guy's a good, solid player, but he's not better than Anderson. He's not better than Nolan Smith. Robert Beal was right there with him. So, I mean, we're okay at that position. That's for sure.
Well, you mentioned Coach also too, and I think it's important to note that, two of the top five transfers in the nation coming from the Georgia Bulldogs, to me, that's just a sign of how well you're recruiting. If your guys are entering the transfer portal and they're that big of impact makers for other teams, that's a real commentary on the type of players that you're bringing in here. If you want your players to be wanted, I know that nobody wants to lose those guys, but it's like with coaches. You want people who want your players. And certainly, the opportunity for those guys to go out and make big impacts elsewhere speaks to, what Georgia saw in them and the kind of evaluations that they were able to put out on those guys.
How crazy is it that Georgia lost six guys to the draft and two of the top five transfers are two Georgia defensive? Yet most of us and most Georgia fans are super, super, super excited about this year's Georgia defense. It just shows you how much depth Georgia has.
We also, when you look at the transfer issue, you look at the fact that Georgia loses two guys and Bruce Feldman's top five impact players, and we've kind of stopped talking about it, and it's because you move on. We're not going to rehash Tariq Stevenson for 9-10 months, but losing him was a big deal. But when you have a guy like, when you look over at Alabama, you're like, wait a minute, did you guys just get Jamison Williams, that super fast wide receiver at Ohio State? That stinks. Oh, wait, did you just get Henry the linebacker who's already been penciled in as a starter over there? You're like, wait a minute, why isn't Georgia getting those guys? But they are. They got Tariq Stevenson. You've gotten those guys. My point is, I think Jake nails it when he says you want your coaches to be wanted by other teams. You want your players to be wanted by other teams. And a lot of people go, well, geez, these other schools are going to come pick over our roster and take our successful players. No, the successful teams it's going to work more to your advantage. Because right now, if you are – Georgia needs a cornerback. You don't need two cornerbacks. Might need another wide receiver. I think you're going to see some transfers in June, not this month, but in June, guys transferring to Georgia, and we will write tweets about the rich getting richer. They're already doing that at Alabama, but I still think that's coming up for Georgia. I think you're going to see the power teams, the Ohio States, the Clemsons, the Oklahomas, the Oregons, the Alabamas, the Georgias, those teams are going to get – they're going to almost have like a sub-farm league where, hey, you did fantastic at Wake Forest. You're a good quarterback. Why don't you come here?
Oh,
that doesn't always work out. You see my point. You see that could come up where I think Feldman made a good point where you see some teams are going to recruit, or take 15 players and then hold 10 spots for transfers.
Well, and Tyke Smith, I mean, how exactly does he fit into that mold of what you were just talking about between 200 and or however the Henry
a lot of Tennessee. Apostrophes
Henry the linebacker from Tennessee now at Alabama, and
I'm the one drinking and you can't get the name.
Well, I've never known how to say that kid's last name, just so we're clear.
I think it's 200.
Okay, there you go. But I mean, that's you're talking about impact transfers. Tyke Smith, in my opinion, got to be one of those top guys as well. I mean, it's certainly up there as well, especially at a position in need. You lose a guy like Tyreek Stevenson, such a key piece of that defense, such a key piece of that secondary, and you're able to replace him with a guy who was an All-American and one of the top graded safeties in his class in the nation last year. That's a great commentary on how Georgia not only, like I said, is evaluating those initial guys, but how they're backfilling those spots with talented players as well.
One thing he did say about Tyreek was the fact that, you know, he was a stellar player in that league, but he's going to be challenged a lot differently in this league because of the run value that you're going to have to establish against so many of our teams. You know, it's a pass first team all the way in a Big 12. And, you know, he's more of a safety star type guy, and we definitely need that. But, didn't play much man coverage, and we play a lot of man, so that's going to be something that he's going to have to do. But I think the bottom line there is his coach evaluated our guys, knows what he can do, and he was able to transmit to Kirby and Lanning that this guy can come in here and help us, because, you know, what better way to evaluate somebody than have the coach that actually worked with him and knows what we try to do with our defense. So
That's a good point, Coach.
Roddy, I do want to staple a caveat to something you and Jake said, though. You want your players and your coaches to be wanted by other teams, but you want it to happen for the right reasons. Because number one on Bruce Feldman's list was Eric Gray, running back from Tennessee, going to Oklahoma. Now, obviously, with Eric Gray and then Henry To'o, Tennessee, it's like we know that those players are going to want to leave because the situation is so bad there.
True.
That's a different side of the coin than is the case at Georgia, where
they make
individual reasons, but there's no mass exodus. Not that you guys were alluding to that, but you want to be wanted for those right reasons.
That's an excellent point. Here's
a point I'd like to make about Tennessee too, because I've been down here in the dungeon here where I read all this stuff. Tennessee's in a situation a lot different than we said the halves are going to get better and all that. But Tennessee can tell a guy that's maybe a backup or close to being a starter at a good school that, hey, you can come in here and start in SEC, have a chance to get evaluated, and maybe be a big part of us turning this program around. You look at some of the guys they're bringing in, Hooker from the quarterback from Virginia Tech, Milton, the quarterback from Michigan, the defensive lineman from out in Southern California, the linebacker from Texas. I mean, they're getting some guys that are pretty good players, not all Americans, but they're getting guys at least that are going to be better than these backups that they're trying to move in there to take guys like Henry's place. So smart move by Tennessee hitting the transfer portal. Like we saw it with SMU exactly. SMU had like 20-some guys last year in the transfer portal, and they ended up going to a big bowl for SMU because their whole team was almost looked like they had to introduce them to the rest of the team. They had so many new guys in there.
Yeah, that's a Tom Crean plan.
The transfer U.
Yeah.
I hope it works. I mean, it's time for them to.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that Tennessee situation, and that's a perfect example. I think that you're going to continue to see that be the norm when it comes to the transfer portal, because you're able to sell guys on the opportunity to play and play a lot and be able to expand their brand, especially in this NIL time. I mean, these guys are going to be able to come and establish themselves potentially as superstars in these programs, whereas they may have been, like you said, kind of on the cusp of being able to start somewhere else. I think that it's a smart move on their part. They're going to get to be on TV. You know, you're going to play Alabama on TV. You know, you're going to get to go against LSU, Georgia. I mean, they're going to get tape against really good players, and they're going to be able to contribute significantly. It's a trend that's not going away.
One more point, Roddy, and then we'll get off this. It's a guy that we know was a good player for Tennessee, Gray, the running back. I mean, he was consistent, not listed among the best backs in the SEC for sure when you start talking about it. But Oklahoma's out there doing a conga line around the Bud Wilkinson complex there, getting a guy like Gray because he can catch the ball out of the backfield, he can pass pro, and he can make 3 or 4 yards in space, which they need with that system out there. You know, they lost a good back, got kicked off the team. They got Kennedy Brooks back. They got some good backs, but they need depth. And a guy like Gray goes out there, and their offensive lineman went there, that kid from over at Grayson.
Yeah, Morris.
He's out there, and he's going to help them too. So sometimes, you know, it helps the team more than it helps the player and vice versa. But it's going to be the wild, wild west here with these two things, a transfer portal and the NIL. I mean, we're in uncharted territory here as far as what's going to happen here over the next few years.
And it's important to remember, these are the ones that took the leap, I guess, to get in the portal, which seems like less of a leap, I guess, as many people are doing it. But how about the ones that we kind of heard rumblings about? Tank Bigsby at Auburn 6 months ago, right after the season. That was like, oh, well, maybe something's happening there. He went back. Whatever the case is with Gilbert at LSU, I have no idea if he's going to be playing college football next season. But the rumblings happened for a lot of people that were seeing what kind of the ground was going to look like if they pursued that way, and then some backed off. So I can guarantee you this, that happened at Georgia too. And some of that may have gotten out, and some of that probably didn't get out either.
That's very true, and that's one of those things that we should probably have a recap at the end of someone's career. Here's the stuff that we found out about that never happened. But then, I don't know, maybe some of our sources are dry up, so we won't do that, but it's a good point. And I think Jake Nails was talking about some of those guys who might be on the cusp. If you're a major Burns and you're like, okay, I'm still a couple years away, but if I go somewhere else, and how many people would be buying major Burns jerseys this year versus if he's a starter somewhere? So I think, as Coach said, we're in uncharted territory where if you're not a starter, you're not able to build your brand on television, and you're close, you might go elsewhere. I do want to talk about
– I want to point one more thing, Roddy. And then go back 3 years ago, your Brenny or Speed in this kind of environment, they'd probably be in the transfer.
They're gone. You're right. Absolutely. And there were rumors about both of those guys at different points. So it's
that's nothing against those two, but I'm just saying comparison. But now they didn't have that, you know, the transfer portal wasn't out there. They've hung in there. They've done what they're supposed to do. And now they're a really big part of our team. But and I'm glad they are.
So go out and buy your Brenny jerseys. Go out and buy your Speed jerseys. You know, wear those guys. They have the NIL starts working for them. Those are guys who need to be rewarded.
It'd be cool to have a jersey at Speed on the back.
That would be good. I do want everybody, when you get a chance, swing by our friends at Athens Ford. They have done some roster management you need to check out. They have the new Broncos out there. They actually have this whole presentation of the new Ford Broncos. They're fantastic. They got a blue and red one out there, convertibles.
No white ones. Open.
Let's not get crazy. you can check them out. They're fantastic. And they also, on May 19th, so May 10th, yesterday, they had the big reveal on the Ford Broncos. May 19th, 9 days later, they're going to have the Ford F-150 Lightning. So the all-electric version of the Ford F-150. So three huge upgrades to the Ford line. So we need a chance. Swing out there. Of course, anything you buy out there is going to have a lifetime power and trade warranty on it as long. It's a new vehicle or a used one under 80,000 miles. They're the state's largest Ford certified pre-owned dealership, so check them out. Huge Georgia fans. I cannot express I go out there for service all the time because they have a better Wi-Fi than my house, better drinks in my house, and they have snacks, and I like the snacks are good, but again, it's immaculate out there.
They're great people too.
If you there's never any pressure to buy a vehicle out there, you can just go hang out and they'll take care of you. So when you get a chance, do that. And if you're not, if you're on that side of town, be sure to swing by our friends over at Academia Brewing Company. You know, if you want to watch any of the games, you're watching the Braves, you're watching, watch anything on TV, they got giant TVs everywhere. They have a lounge. They have a beer garden outside when the weather's nice. You can sit out there, covered bar, inside bar, tons of beer that they make themselves, you know. Like right now, they have this Death Ripper Volume 3. It's a 6% New England style IPA. It's the third release that they've done from this rotating hop series. You need to check it out. They have great beers out there. They're introducing new ones all the time. We had a guy hit me up on Twitter. Said, hey, I'm in Athens for the weekend. Where should I go? I mentioned Academia. I mentioned a couple other places. Went to Academia. Absolutely loved it. Unsolicited testimonial right there. Be sure to check out Academia Brewing Company when you get a chance.
Now you're making Jake jealous again.
Yeah, what are you eating over there?
That they brought us over here from Classic City. They brought us a little bit of the catfish, which I've had the catfish here. It's
with the catfish plate. Oh, I just wanted
one of my favorites. Oh, you just wanted the hush puppy.
They could call that the Jim Donnan special, I think. There you go.
Oh, another hush puppy fell off.
I'm missing those, but I want to do one other, as you say, shout out for one of our sponsors, Your Pie. I had a chance to go over to watch the Dogs tennis just for a little bit. I didn't get to go as much as our friend Stats did, but I saw Drew French and his wife and his two kids there, and just great supporters of the Dogs. I mean, those young girls that want to be tennis players, and he was fired up, and we appreciate what he does for our show, but he's a great supporter of UGA, like all of our sponsors are, but it was great to see Drew and Natalie there. It was awesome.
It's Double Points Tuesday, so if you get a chance and you want to get a pizza from them or a sandwich or a custom pasta or a salad or
gelato,
hit them up and order it on the app. You'll get double points. Again, if I showed you mine right now, it's free pizzas, free apps, free, I mean, all free sort of stuff because I usually order on a Tuesday. So
I had the Roddy special the other day. I had a pizza and a little bit of key lime pie gelato.
Yeah. All right. Jake, I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about recruiting. It's May 11th, June 1st. All hell's going to break loose because we've got that you can actually go visit. Georgia, not to be undone, is going to have a camp June 1st. And I'm sure they'll be having visitors all month. You got a year to make up. This is a staff that, hell, for years had visitors every weekend, you know, 365 days a year, holidays, never mattered. They always had somebody hosting on the weekends for kids that wanted to come by, because instead of having, I mean, they would have the huge events, you know, where you could bring in 100, 200, 300 kids, but they'd also have, hey, let's bring in 10, let's bring in 5, let's bring in one guy and spend a lot of time recruiting him. They haven't been able to do that for over a year. Now, all of a sudden, June 1st, it's about to open up.
AHBL is coach coined it, and I'm rolling with it because that is the most accurate way to
that's
put
gonna
it.
Be a back of your jersey, Jake.
It's gonna be, yeah, I mean, it's gonna be totally insane. I mean, it's gonna be nuts. You know, I think that, you know, like you said, they're starting off the month with that underclassman camp. I'll tell you this, Georgia's put out some new offers here over the course of the last couple of days, but you're going to see it get hot and heavy when those underclassmen are able to get on campus and they're able to see how these kids have progressed. They haven't seen a lot of these kids, if they've seen them at all, since freshman year. So it's an opportunity for these guys to come in, show how their game has developed, show how their body has developed, and for coaches to get that opportunity in person. Georgia coaches rely a lot on those in-person evaluations. I know a lot of programs do. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's kind of the lifeblood for all these guys, but Georgia coaches seem to especially take those camps pretty seriously when they're kind of on the fence about offering a guy. They want those in-person evaluations in order to go ahead and pull the trigger. So that June 1st, June 2nd, you know, you're going to have a lot of those top underclassmen from around the country in. You'll see that over the course of June. June's going to be just an insane month because, as far as I'm aware, the June window is when you're going to have to take your official visits. I don't think they're extending it into July. So you're going to have to wait and go into the season. Then, so it's not like kids are getting extra weekends. They've got 4 weekends to do this over the course of the summer. If they want to go ahead and get them all in and get them squeezed in. Make sure to get over to UGASports.com though today and check out, I did a piece on, 5 impact visits kind of right off the cusp when it comes to this 2022 class. And I think obviously Branson Robinson, no surprise, number one at the top. I think everybody's waiting with bated breath for that one largely because of his comments at the Rivals camp where he said, look, if everything goes well and everything goes how I think it could in Athens, this could be a one-and-done official visit season for me. I know that's what Georgia's hoping for. I know that's what Georgia fans are hoping for. Everybody in Bulldog Nation should be hoping for that because that kid is that kind of special player. But, you know, you're talking about being able to kind of shape some other positions as well. you haven't had a lot of clarity where offensive line is concerned in this 2022 class. You know, there's Addison Nichols is coming in. You've got Jacob Hood later in the month. You know, they've got to kind of start putting those pieces together. How do those guys factor in? And how many guys do you end up taking at that spot? You know, how important is wide receiver now? You've got one guy in Denylon Morissette already on board. You know, who are the guys that are kind of in behind him? Do you maybe get a chance at a guy like an Evan Stewart, who's a Rivals 100 receiver out of Texas? You know, I know that they felt good about their chances there. The whole thing's going to be nuts. It's going to be upside down. But I think what's important to remember is how Georgia's done in the past with things opening or with these visits, these on-campus visits. They've been really aces when it comes to that kind of stuff. They impress. And I think that you're going to see a lot of activity over the course of June, because as I've said for a couple weeks now, kids have been getting the Zoom calls. They've had a chance to do the research. They've talked to these coaches a million times. They're getting texts every day. A lot of these guys are worn out on this process because it's a process unlike anything else they've ever had to go, or it's a process unlike anybody's ever had to deal with, coaches or players. I think a lot of people are worn out on that process. I think a lot of these guys are ready to get it done. And I think that the only thing, you know, that they need to check off in their mind is the ability to see the place in person, interact possibly with future teammates, get a feel for how these coaches are in person, maybe let them spend a little bit of personal time with mom and dad, and then go from there.
One point that I would make on that would be, I saw a stat that last year at this time, among the really good players, there were 131 commits. This year, there's 36. So the idea is the early commitments aren't quite as much now that – and we saw a lot of them earlier in the year, maybe like in January, February. But now they know they can make these visits. These kids are holding off, and it's going to be huge. You did a good job of analyzing what all's got to happen there. But one thing I would say about these camps, and the reason I know a little bit more about it, is I've been trying to help a couple of my ex-players whose sons are recruits, not quite on the level of Georgia, but they're going out and trying to get their kids out there in front of some of these places, and they've got a schedule set up. Like one day they'll be at one place, the next day, I mean, like 7 or 8 different camps over a 2-week period, yeah, just to get the exposure for their kids. And I've encouraged them to do that, because you can show the tape all you want to, but it really hasn't made any difference to these coaches. They want to see them. I mean, if they couldn't see them, you'd probably be getting an offer. But now that they know they can analyze them and look at them, you're going to need to get your kid out there and let them see them and go to these different individual camps.
Which, with the month of June kind of playing catch up in terms of the visits and the recruiting, how would you prioritize what needs to happen for the class of 2022 or 2023 or 24? How would you divide that up between what needs to be done for each class? Because we know that these teams work so far ahead of in advance.
I'll take it. I think that what you, I think you've got to figure out about fleshing out the rest of this class. And to be fair, I think that you've got a really good feel on probably what you've got in the 2022 class in terms of the level that these guys are at. You communicated with the coaches. You've done all the background research you could possibly do. So you've got your offers out, and you probably feel good about where you stand with some of these guys coming in. For those next upcoming classes, I think the priority has to be the evaluation, first and foremost. Because like I said, a lot of these kids haven't had an opportunity to be in front of staffs in, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. You're talking about guys who were entering freshman year or maybe entering their sophomore year that people just haven't seen. And like Coach said, you can show the tape all day. You can go over and look at that. You can trust the measurements that these kids put out there if you want, but that's not a good way to keep your job in the future. You need to, you need those guys in person. You need to be able to make those evaluations yourself. And I think that that's where the priority has to lie. I think that it's more about evaluation this summer than it is about, you know, kind of maybe trying to stack the ranks and stock the cupboard. I think that you've got to figure out, where do these guys stand? How do they fit in with our needs? What can they do? And what's the ceiling on some of these guys? Because those are the unanswered questions you've got right now.
We do get a few questions from people in the industry. They're like, hey, is you've seen this kid at the Rivals camp. Is that the correct measurements? Well, yes, because everything we put up with the Rivals camp is verified. We do the wingspan, we do the hands, we do the the heights and weights, all that stuff is, you know, to the nth degree, it is accurate. So I know the college coaches find that very, very valuable. I kind of want to go back to what Coach said about these, 36 guys committed versus 131. I think a lot of the kids are waiting until they visit the schools, but I think that also might be some of the schools like, yeah, you have an offer, but can you come by first?
I want to see you first.
I want to see you first, especially these 20, you know, and Dave asked about the 2023, 2024. There's a lot of offers out there, but are they committable? Could a kid say, hey, I want to come right now? Yeah, you could do that with a top 10, top 15 guys that you've offered. You know, when you have your, here's our outside linebacker group, you know, and you have them listed 1 to 7. You'll take your number one. You might take your number two, but your number three, number four, you probably want that kid to come here in June and get a look at it. You know?
Well, and then to your point, I mean, I think that one guy that kind of jumps off the page and kind of makes this point is a guy like Daniel Martin out of Marietta. You're talking about a four-star outside, a guy who's a four-star guy. He's been a Rivals 250 player since pretty much the inception of the 2022 rankings. But it's looking like, just because of how his body's developed, he's probably trending a little bit more into that safety role. He was a guy that, you know, 2-3 years ago, you thought, hey, this guy's probably a lock for this Georgia class. He's going to be an inside or outside linebacker. But because of how the development's taken place, now you're having to kind of reevaluate him at another position. How does he fit in there? I think that that's probably going to be the case more so than not. Like you said, those top 10, 15, 20 guys, you know what you're going to get in Walter Nolan. Everybody understands what a guy like that brings to the table, right? But there are a lot of these guys that you haven't seen in so long that you have to say, okay, how has this body changed? How has the skill set changed? Have they added anything to their game? Like I said, Martin, I think a really good example of that, because he's a guy who's probably trending toward a different position than he was initially recruited.
What did he tell me when we were at the Rivals camp? He said, I weigh 195.
Yep.
The coaches have told me that's not big enough to play linebacker UGA.
Yep.
So I'm going to go to Athens in June and camp as a safety.
Yep.
And show them I can play safety. This is a guy who has a ton of offers. I mean, we have 21 offers. The Clemson's, Florida's,
Auburn's, Florida State.
A ton of offers. Always could go anywhere. It sounds like he kind of wants to go to Georgia, but again, he's not coming as an inside linebacker. He's not coming as an outside linebacker. So he's like, hey, I'm going to show them I can play safety. And he's been working on his coverage skills, been working on stuff like that. So you're right. That's a kid that, you got an offer, but if he tried to commit right now, he couldn't. But if he comes and shows them in June that, hey, I can play safety, then maybe all of a sudden they take him. So,
hey, but shout out to Daniel. Good, great player, great kid, and wish him all the luck, man. I hope the transition to
and
safety.
He did not have to tell us that. You know, he could have just said, yeah, I'm going to
play safety right now.
But he's very forthright, honest, and busted his tail in that Rivals camp. So, I'm fingers crossed for the young man. So,
I'm rooting for him.
Here's what happens at the camp, too. It's not only the analysis of his height, weight, speed, and everything. But how does he compete? Let's say you're a corner, and now all of a sudden you're going against better receivers than you've ever gone against. You get beat a couple of times. Do you hang your head, or you jump in there and try to cover them again? All those little things that you see that you can't see on tape or you can't see in a Zoom meeting. So one of the biggest factors that I'm going to give Kirby and his staff credit for is the guys that have been to our camp that signed with major schools that we didn't take because of things that we didn't feel like they were good enough for us. Now, there's some of them that we got beat in recruiting for sure, but there's guys that I'll send a text to somebody and say, what happened on this guy? I thought he looked pretty good. He said, well, coach, you know, we probably got somebody better or something like that. Now, they don't usually tell me much of that, but I'm telling our fans here, this evaluation deal is the best thing that could ever happen to our recruiting, because we've been kind of living on fumes here with Zoom and everything. But one of the best things we do is in-person evaluation. And the second, another 1A is the fact when they make an official visit, we got an amazing closure on the amount of kids that come here that once we get them here. And I think that's the point that Jake brought up. You only got 4 weekends here, and we're one out of four on most of these guys. Some of them, as soon as they get here, they might probably not going to take a couple other visits. I think it's going to be over, but we're going to be closing them. We're going to be closing some really good players here in June.
Coach, go ahead. Well, I wanted to ask you, Coach, you know, you mentioned some of those things that you can't see on tape. You know, how important is it to see body language in person, to see how a kid's interacting with his teammates or his potential teammates, to see how he's vibing with coaches? I mean, how much does that kind of play into the evaluation factor, even outside of just what you're able to do on the field?
Huge. I mean, I just feel like there's a lot of guys that can't make it on this level because they of some lack of intangibles, lack of ability to handle the pressure, lack of ability to be in the big stage. I mean, it's just a very, very small window there. Talent is one thing, intelligence is one thing, but just the ability to compete. You hear Kirby talk all the time on these things. Hey, we're going to have competition at practice every day. I mean, it's – you talk about AHBL every day out there at our practice. It's like a – I mean, they get after it each other day in and day out. And from that standpoint, we've had a lot of guys get a lot better like that. So I'm fired up about the camps because I know it's a huge part of our success rate. And as much as anybody in the country, because we know what we're looking for. We know how to test them. It's organized. The kids get a good feel for the program. They get a lot of Kirby there. I mean, he's in a golf cart moving around, going from one place to the next and running from one place to the next. But he evaluates every guy that comes here himself. And that's the way it should be. You're the head coach. It all comes back to you, and you got to make the final stamp of approval. And if a kid gets an invite to George's camp, he's going to be here more than likely if he's in these surrounding states. Now, I know if he's a kid at Alabama, it might, but we're going to have that June 1st date. I mean, we can't turn anybody down that shows up. I mean, it's an open camp, but the really good guys know who's been invited. That's for sure.
Coach, you mentioned a lot of people, like not just obviously Kirby, but also Georgia has a lot of people on staff and analysts and coaches that evaluate these players. How many people on that staff and coaches and analysts, how many people are there now compared to when you were coaching?
Just about 350 more, I think. I'm not sure. There's,
I mean, I know it's a huge difference, but I mean,
no, I mean, there's, it's just not so much Georgia. It's just the way of life here. I mean,
yeah. You know, that's
exactly. We have a recruiting coordinator, but Georgia's got a recruiting coordinator for visits, for analyzing film, for doing, I mean, three or four people do what one person used to be, but that's good. I mean, we really get, we got all these people evaluating tape. And what's really good is, say a kid comes in here on an official visit, he's going to have an unbelievable amount of people interacting with him, as far as somebody over there at the hotel setting up everything, somebody at the meals, somebody that is taking him to the academic visit, somebody taking him on a tour of facilities. But I mentioned this to Dane before we got on. Every kid needs to think he's the only one here. Because he's the one, this is his life. I mean, he doesn't need to get caught up in some herd mentality where he's going around and viewing the weight room with three other guys and the strength coach is talking to another guy more than he is him, you know, or he's got different academic interest than somebody talking to somebody about the business school. I used to hate about a generic academic approach. I wanted each person to have his own personal person in that department talking to him about what he wanted to do and let his parents ask him those questions. And Dick Bestwick and Leda Horvat and all the people that helped us really made sure of that, because, you know, you're going to spend a lot more time on academics than you are football, although football's catching up with it. But you gotta get to all those questions answered. And the mamas are going to know, where do they eat? Where do they, you know, what do you do this, blah, 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 blah. And it's critical that they get a good feel for it.
Well, the other thing that's transformed in the last, I would say, two decades for sure, but, you know, within the last 10 years, even more so, is just the rapid communication with high school coaches and then even just kind of like side coaches that some of these players have. Because, you know, I think about it, if you're a new coach, think about how hard this last year has been. I'm looking at like Shane Beamer that's taking over at South Carolina. You've been at Oklahoma. So, yeah, you've got experience in South Carolina, but a lot of coaches change over. It's been so helpful for Georgia to have staff stability and then Kirby Smart with his connections in the state of Georgia. That is something that you cannot place a high enough value on because it's been the lifeblood of recruiting for the last, 18 months now.
Well, really, we got a question about that, Dane, from UGA Alum 95. He says, a question for the show, just how big a loss is Nick Williams for UGA? How did it happen? Why? So basically, UGA Alum 95, nice viewer of our show, always sends us good questions. Coach, how big a loss is it to have Nick Williams, former Georgia player out of Bainbridge, it's from Kirby's hometown. He's going to Texas A&M. He's a good recruiter. You know, Kirby gave him a break. He pops into the program and on the recruiting side, and now he's being hired away by Texas A&M. How big a loss is that for Georgia?
I'm going to
look at your screen.
I'm going to assume you're calling me coach here. So, because we're a little light on coach at the moment. So, but Nick Williams is one of those guys that, you know, when you're talking about the staff at Georgia, his name outside of the formal football staff is probably the name that you hear the most. I would say in terms of those analyst guys, those assistant guys.
Eddie Gordon, maybe a slight edge.
Eddie Gordon is definitely up there. I'll tell you, Will Muschamp also kind of climbing into those ranks as well, as you might expect.
Yeah.
But Nick Williams, a guy who has been consistent, has really helped Georgia, and especially Dan Lanning with that outside linebacker position, has done tremendous work there. You know, it's like I said earlier, I mean, you want your coaches to be wanted, you know, and for Nick, it makes a lot of sense. Look, there's a lot of Georgia connections now up there at Texas A&M with Coley, with Marshall Malco. I mean, you've got these guys up there who, you know, they're familiar with, they're comfortable working with, and they can speak to the culture and what it's like up there. So, you know, it's a tough loss for Georgia. I don't think there's any way to sell it, but I'll tell you this, Nick Williams, in my opinion, fast track to being a coach. Doubt that this, you know, assistant thing is going to be, or this analyst position is going to be too long for him. He's done that a lot at Georgia. I think that it'll be a quick run up there at College Station. And then I think that he's a guy who's destined for big things in the coaching ranks, just because of that recruiting prowess, you know, coaching abilities aside.
Yeah, from what I understand, they offered him like $175,000, $150,000, a lot of money. And for you to go as a defensive analyst, you know, and I don't know what he's making at Georgia, but that's a lot of money for an analyst. So I give him best wishes to Nick Williams. I know that he's big on he's big on the recruiting trail. And people say, well, you know, are Texas A&M just trying to get him so they can get Bear Alexander, the five-star defensive tackle out of Texas? I don't think you're going to be able to sway Bear just by taking his main point of contact, especially considering that Kirby and those guys are obviously know who's on his list, who his contacts are. And if you think Kirby's just going to stand around and wait to reach out to these guys and say, hey, yeah, your first point of contact in UGA is gone. Let me give you a new guy. No, this is not something Kirby would assign to his subordinates. This is something that Kirby would handle himself. So you hate it that you lose a guy, but shout out to Kirby for actually giving him a shot, you know, and bringing him into the business. And his coaching tree grows every day, it seems.
No doubt. Coach, your thoughts?
I mean, the guy was a graduate assistant here, and he was offered a job as an analyst, and he's getting ready to have another baby. He's got one child now, and hey, that's, you know, we don't have a position here for him and to do the same thing. And guys move around. I mean, Jesse Stone went from here to Miami and then to Arkansas. And then last week he just went to UCF because he was hoping he could get a job at Arkansas full time, but it just didn't work out. And, you know, he's not going to sit around and do the same thing. And with his career, you gotta move on. So he's got a good chance to get, maybe move up there at UCF. And that's just an example. I mean, there's guys everywhere that, you can't blame them for moving, but at the same time, there's always somebody else you can bring in. But the guys that do the recruiting for us, these GAs do a good job and all that. But let me just tell you something. The difference down the stretch on Bear Alexander is going to be I'm not going to say, I mean, it's going to be NIL. It's going to be jobs. It's going to be a lot more about what we can bring to the table there than it is about liking some GA.
I mean, did Bear Alexander already have a logo like made for him in his recruitment?
Yeah.
Comes with the name Bear.
No, that's right. It's like, you know, and he knows if he comes to Georgia and it starts, you know, when his pro career is over, you know, and all of a sudden he comes back to Atlanta and it's like, hey, I need a job. And there's going to be lined up like, oh, yeah, you're the guy that, you know, played at Georgia and then you went to the league. You
know, how much did Branson Robinson speak on, you know, the proximity to Atlanta? And he said, look, this is where it's all happening. He said, you know, you're a 4-hour plane ride away from anywhere if you're in Atlanta. You know, that it's something that those guys are taking into serious account. And like he said, and I'm sure Bear Alexander and I'm sure every recruit in the class feels this way. He said, look, if they're going to start paying people, I want to get paid the most. And,
right. Jake, was it Tyler Booker that I spoke to, the offensive lineman? Is that his name? Mm-hmm. He said, I asked him, I said, you know, he's talking about everything's going great with Georgia. And I said, okay, let me play devil's advocate. What could Georgia do better? He goes, nothing really. Although they could tell me something about the NIL, the name, image, likeness thing, because I'm in Florida. Florida's promoting that July 1st. It becomes available down there. And if I can stay in Georgia, stay in Florida and get paid for my name, image, and likeness, you know, Georgia doesn't have that. So that gives Florida an advantage. You know, now Georgia will have that. But, I mean, Tyler just laid it out of line. He's like, you know, what they can do better, show me how they're going to take advantage of my name, image, likeness. Again, we go back to what we're talking about earlier in the show. You know, these kids, some of them don't come from a lot. They have a chance to make money on their brand. And I think that matters, as Coach says, a lot more. You know, having in-person visits with a closing staff like Kirby has, you know, when you can get these guys, you can talk to them. It's we mentioned that before. It's tough to sell a car on FaceTime. It's a lot easier to sell it when somebody can actually sit down in it and drive it around, you know. So when you can bring a Bear Alexander into town and say, hey, here's what we have set for name, image, likeness. Here's where you're going to eat. Here's where you're going to go. Here's what the other players say. That closing, those relationships, and that that plan matters more than a graduate assistant. And not a shot against Nick. Very happy for Nick. Very happy for Jesse. But I think that matters more.
Yeah, and you better believe, as Coach said, you know, when you're talking about making these guys feel like they're the only one on campus, you better believe every single one of these high-level guys they're bringing in, they have a packet prepared that says, look, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're handling this name, image, likeness for you. This is what we're going to be able to do for you, Kamari Wilson. All right. We know that you're a guy from Florida. You're from Fort Pierce. You obviously could make a lot of money, you know, off of your name if you were to stay with the Gators. Well, let's talk about how we can maximize it here in Athens instead. What's it matter to them? You know, I think that you've got to be able to do that. And there's no question in my mind, given that they brought that firm in, they're going to have those individualized attentions to that NIL ready for those guys when they get on campus. No question.
Let me give you an example. Let's just say you're a corporate company and you're getting ready to try to close a deal with a big account, and you bring all your executives in and you go over your game plan and you talk about what we're going to do and how we're going to when we go into this meeting, who's going to do what, and these are going to be what our strengths are, and this is how we're going to try to capture this account. The same thing happens when you bring a kid in for official visit. You have a meeting with the host that's getting ready to take him out. You go over about what is, you know, what kind of kid this is. And sometimes they already know him, sometimes they don't. But the host is going to be the one that shows him being with him more than you are. He's going to tell you what it's like. You go over the academic people about what this kid needs. He might need some extra work because he's, you know, in certain areas he might be a little bit less, and just one thing after another. But you go to excruciating plan about how, because you only got him for 48 hours. You talk about what happens if the plane's late. What do we do to make up for that? What happens if he misses the plane? What happens if it's raining and we can't go outside to do this, you know, every little thing, because surprises, you can't, the more surprises you have, the more guys you're going to lose. So every detail's covered, and it's just your chance, 48 hours. I mean, it's your chance to put the clothes on them or to open the door on somebody that you might not have had a chance with. And the other thing you do is you get with some of the recruits that you know you got, and you tell them, when you get these guys in a situation, here's how we're going to hot box this guy. This is what I want you to do, and not make him feel pressured, but talk about why you're coming here, some of the things you went through, some of the things he's going through that you've heard about that you can maybe help him with. So your peers help you a little bit there. So
Rock Vandegrift of the world. Yes, sir.
It's all set up, and they do a good job with it. It really is.
Well, and football's obviously at a different scale, but I enjoyed Coach, our conversation with Jack Bowerly, where he was saying it works in the other direction too, where he'll have a potential, you know, Olympic quality athlete coming in to check out UGA to see if they want to swim or dive at Georgia. But they also just happen to like football. So then he gets on Kirby Smart's calendar and makes time for Kirby Smart to say hello to them too in that recruitment process. So you know that happens all the time with the amount of programs that Georgia has. If there's a football player that is also really interested in golf, maybe they have an interest in Chris Hack or some of the PGA guys that have been to the Masters. Like that would be something that would be appealing to them.
Georgia's done that forever and ever, because I mean, not just with football, but I mean, some of these players did not necessarily know about gymnastics, but they brought them over to the gymnastics meet to check out something elsewise they might have liked. So Georgia has advantages in many different areas.
They brought in the lead, the head of the Terry Business School. They've brought over the dean of the law school to talk with some of these guys that have interest in that. Different professors and presidents and stuff like that have all stepped in to recruit, because you find out what the kid likes, and you're like, hey, so you really want to, you thinking about going into business administration when this is done, all said and done? Well, here's the dean of the Terry College of Business who's come by to see you on your official visit. Yeah. So smart.
Here's the point about the academic thing, though. You've got to talk and get somebody that's going to talk to them to ensure them that they've got everybody's, I mean, Auburn's telling them, hey, these kids have to study all the time. They do, because all their Auburn's coaches have been here. Rodney Garner has been here. Bobo's been here. They know how hard it is academically here. They're going to use that against us, not negatively, just, you know, it's just a routine. I know what it's like. So you need somebody that's reassuring to them. Look, it's difficult, but when you get out of here, look at what you're going to have, and here's how we're going to map it out for you, instead of somebody sitting down with them and telling them, I'm just going to tell you right now, you know, I've had some football players in my class, and it's really hard to get through school here at Georgia. You think that kid's going to come? I mean, I'm not overreacting here. I've had some of these guys that you really didn't check out good enough, and that can just be demoralizing to a recruit, you know, to have a bad academic visitor. One of the things that I used to get mad about early on was we would have these weight demonstrations where we'd get kids to show what we did with the weights, and, you know, and the strength coach would show them. And some of these kids look at it and say, look, I can't play here. I don't look like that. How am I ever going to be able to play here? They scare you to death. So we cut that out. Because you're looking at a guy and say, good God.
Ed Watson, you are not helping.
bring the fat kids out. Bring the fat guys out.
Right. I tell you, that's another thing. Those kids want to put those uniforms on. I mean, they want to style out and take pictures and walk out there in the stadium and have the music playing. And I mean, the first time we went to the stadium and took kids out, it was in January, and the grass was brown and there wasn't any chalk on the field, and I said, look, tomorrow night, but when we get out here, I want this field painted. I want the end zones. I want everything. I want it to look like a University of Georgia football field, you know, because that's the only time they're seeing it.
That's true. I guess we have one other question. Carl asked, what's in that classic country tee? I'll reiterate the empty classic country tee.
By the way, whoever had 104 is by the time Roddy would finish the classic country tee is the winner.
It has plum and petal peach vodka, peach schnapps, fresh lemon juice, half and half, tea garnished with fresh mint sprigs. But I'm going to switch over to this four boozy roosters, the Four Roses bourbon, Campari, grapefruit juice with a splash of soda water.
That's what you need. That's what you need is another liquor drink.
Yep.
Well, you know, before 3 p.m.
Well, they had the Below the Tracks, which is a bullet bourbon, strawberry puree, fresh lime juice, topped with ginger beer, and garnished with a fresh sprig of mint.
And they also have 16 taps of like a beer and wine.
Yeah, 16 taps.
13 beers, 3 wines. It's so anyway, pretty good.
That's all. I'm not going to be around until tomorrow at UGA Sports. So be sure to swing by UGA Sports. Check out the interview with Bruce Feld and our guy Jason's going to write it up for some of you who can't listen to the podcast at work, but be sure to check out the listen to it. And we would really, really appreciate it. You know, we've had Paul Feinbaum on. We've had
Matt Brown.
We've had Jeff Foxworthy, guys like that. When you go by the Apple Store and you listen to our show, if you would, give us a review. It would really be 5-star only, please.
Yeah.
And give us a review on our podcast. It really helps with the algorithms so that we're suggested to people who may not have listened to it. And we're going to keep trying to bring you stuff like this. Coach Donovan and Dane are absolutely killing it with the guest list. I've seen some of the guys that are coming up. It is mind-boggling who is in Coach Donovan's phone. So be sure to subscribe to that. Leave us.
What about my phone, huh? What about my guest list?
Nothing but strippers, man. We know this. Come on, sir. It's just not going to happen. But when you get a chance.
The direct line of toppers. That's all it is.
Anyway, when you do get a chance, leave us a review there. Be sure to check out the Jake story on the front page of UGSports.com talking about the five of the big names coming in June on official visits. We're going to have a lot more, but that's just five right off the top of his head. We're still doing breakdowns. We still have the daily recap. And so when you get a chance, we can check out all the stuff at UGSports.com. I want to give a big shout-out again to our sponsors. Swing by Athens Ford. Check out the new Bronco. Check out the Ford F-150 Lightning. Hit your pie today because today is the day you get double points. Check out Academy Brewing Company because they have all the fantastic beers. They have the new ones coming out left and right. And, of course, our buddy down in Liberty County, Ronnie Brown at DR Construction Maintenance. Hit him up. I know lumber's through the roof, but if anybody can find it, it's going to be Ronnie Brown at DR Construction Maintenance. Hit him up when you get a chance. And we will have the show next Tuesday at noon. We'll be back here and getting closer and closer to June 1st and closer and closer to good luck to the men's and women's tennis team. Who both made the Sweet 16. So congrats to them. Also, we had the men's and women's tennis coaches on the show. Just saying.
I think good luck. If you're on the show, good things could happen to you.
Yeah, so if you do the show, that's what gets you on the Mac Brown's going to win the national title.
Oh, man.
All right, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week.